He used to cover football. Now he covers football. He's gone from corner kicks to corner backs, from the blue hell to the sea of red. Have you figured it out yet? Do I really have to keep doing this? He's the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, in the program.
Yes, indeed. Time to talk to Sam McDowell. Kansas City Chiefs beat, that's what he covers for the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light. Corona Premier, you can get it right now. Love the Corona Premier, great summer beer. And, of course, summer, the official season of Corona. Grab it today, wherever you get your fine spirits and whatnot. Corona has you covered. The Corona Hard Seltzer, also a great, great item for the summer. Tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. 0 grams of carbs, 0 grams of sugar, only 90 calories. And don't forget the Corona folks donating $1 million to Restaurant Employee Relief Fund during this time. So take advantage. I'm sorry, $1.5 million. It is now up to, I got to update my sheet. It was $1 million. They've given another $500,000, $1.5 million to Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. Corona has you covered. Let's talk Chiefs football with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. Sam, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well. No complaints. Listen, nobody would listen, right, if I had any, so why bother?
Great. Is that what your wife said?
No, she just doesn't listen. She doesn't even bother to respond. You know, she's not going to, you know, it's like you're complaining. She just turns around and walks away. You know, it's not going to waste her time. That's what intelligent people do. All right, let me ask you. Let's start with this, if you're done insulting me.
Well, the quarantine sounds like it's going great for you.
I have no problem with it, to be honest with you. I think, you know, others in my home may have something different to say. You know, personally, I'm okay with, you know, the home part of it. That doesn't bother me. Why? Is it bothering you?
Hey, this is not much of a change for me.
Yeah,
us sports writers get to work from home most of the time.
Yeah, tough gig. I'm going to tell you that right now. Doing what I can to be more of a sports writer, I guess. All right, I want to talk to you about Chris Jones. I want to start right there because
sure.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think it's an important topic, and I think there's like this blowback of, like, you know, the story came out last week. Well, Chris Jones, there's no news. And I've heard people be like, well, why? So, I mean, why is this even a story? Well, let me tell you why it's a story. Because we're now at 43 days. Like, if last week wasn't the time to write that, when is? Let's start with that. When is the time that it's okay to say, okay, there are no conversations going on a long-term contract with your star defensive player?
I think I fall somewhere in the middle of it because I don't think it's surprising at all because we're not near the deadline yet. You know, deadlines facilitate these sort of negotiations just like they do.
Okay, but wait a minute. Before, because this is what always happens. I ask that and somebody talks and talks and talks and says we're not close. And then all of a sudden the same person, I'm not saying you, but the same person will be 4 days before. It'll be like, what the blank are the Chiefs doing? When is the time? Because if you've taken it upon yourself as an authority to determine that now is not the time, then you must know when is the time. So give me a date.
I think that it is newsworthy that there hasn't been discussions, but I don't think it's the time to panic yet. And I think that final week is when you start sensing that deadline coming up and there's more motivations on both sides. Now, that doesn't mean I think something's going to get done before that, what is it, July 15th at 3 in the afternoon deadline to have some sort of long-term deal done. I could still see him playing on the franchise tag this year. But because there's been no discussions now, does that mean that's the inevitability? No, it doesn't yet.
No, I agree. I just want to know, because I'm hearing a lot of this conversation about how, like, well, why is this even being discussed? So I want to know when it's okay to talk about it.
it's okay to talk about it last summer when they couldn't get anything done, right?
I think so. I certainly do. You know my opinion. I bring it up a lot.
That was the time to get something done. I mean, that was the time when the Chiefs had the most leverage to get something done. And I know he was coming off of a great year, but now he's coming off of two great years. And now he's been productive his entire career, and he's proven that he's one of the premier players at his position back-to-back years at rushing the passer, at a position where it's the most difficult to rush the passer. So I think Chris Jones has more leverage this year than he did a year ago. And, you know, the most likely scenario of Chris Jones being here for a long, long time would have been getting something done last year.
Agreed. I'm told that there was an offer on the table. It was in the neighborhood of six for $100 million, and Chris Jones said no. Now, nice job, Chris Jones. You walked on that, and because the numbers I were hearing were Aaron Donald-type dollars. $135, $140 million was what he was looking for. So he doesn't do it. Like, do you think Is that a smart move by the Chiefs to not give him Aaron Donald money last year?
Yeah, but, I mean, when we hear numbers like that, because I've heard similar stuff, especially on what was offered to him, those are initial discussions. And obviously you don't – you know this. I mean, you don't offer what you expect the guy to take, and you don't ask for what you expect to receive. I mean, you ask for something that's an outlier so that you can work towards the middle. So I don't think that Chris Jones would have – held out just to get Aaron Donald money. And if he would, I mean, of course, that was too rich for the Chiefs to accept.
I know that those numbers were out there. Now, the devil is in the details. How much of it was guaranteed?
Exactly.
You know, all of those things. That is a part of it, just throwing out there six or 100. Well, if it was a million guaranteed, then that offer sucks, right?
Sure.
You know, it was in the 40s, million range, you know, right around 40 is my understanding of where the guaranteed numbers were. And I get that he wanted more. And to me, so – like, what I don't like when I hear some people talk about it is, so we discussed this last year, and I said, okay, this offer was out there. I got no problem. Chris Jones had two good years and one great year. And certainly the arrow's pointing up, right? And so, sure. You know, and I do agree with you. Like, had they gone 125, would he have signed it? Probably. But is he worth 125?
I think there's different debate as far – for me, a defensive tackle that can rush the passer is so rare that I think he's worth more than I think a lot of other people do. I understand that there's questions about how premier is he at stopping the run, which is obviously a major part of the game. But the game is trending away from stopping the run, and you've got other guys on the roster that you can plug in on those certain downs. You know, Mike Pinnell is fantastic at stopping the run. You've got him back on your roster this year. They found him – to steal your term, as a jag last year. You can get those guys that can fill that need. You can't go get a guy that can fill a need to rush the passer, especially at that position. So I think that's one of the most valuable things in football right now, putting pressure on the quarterback. And when you can do it from that position, I think the guy's worth a lot of money.
Oh, I think he is too. The question is how much, right? That's the other thing is, like, he's worth a lot of money. But how much? At what point does he handcuff you to where you have to get rid of so many guys? You know, like, if you know, we talk about Patrick Mahomes. Okay, listen, let's say Patrick Mahomes gets $40 million a year. Okay, so think about it this way. That's an extra $36 million. Take $36 million off the Chiefs payroll and tell me how you still win the Super Bowl.
What sucks about this conversation is just the difficulty in not knowing what the revenue is going to be this year and what the salary cap is going to be next year. I completely understand your point. I mean, there's a reason that I don't think even quarterback-wise, when you look at it, what's the top quarterback number to win a Super Bowl, isn't it? Like upper 20s? I don't think a $30 million quarterback has won yet. And we're talking about paying Patrick Mahomes 40, but you still go out and do that. But with Chris Jones, what he's worth and what the Chiefs want to pay him, he doesn't care about how it fits into the Chiefs cap, of course. It's what he is worth. And I thought that was the question that you were implying. And I think he's worth, you know, if he's not quite on DeForest Buckner's level, he's right below him.
See, that's the mistake that I think teams make, right? Like, what would the New England Patriots do with Chris Jones?
They would let him. They would play him on the franchise tag and let him walk the next year.
No, they would trade him. They would have traded him. It's what they did with Chandler Jones. They did with Flowers. Yeah, one or the other. Because Trey Flowers, they let do that.
Right.
I don't even think they let him get to the franchise tag. Sometimes they just let him go. But they traded Richard Seymour. They traded Chandler Jones. You know, they will not tie themselves down to somebody in their front seven being one of the highest paid guys in football. They won't do it. And so I get that the Chiefs vanquished the Patriots, but I think the Patriots still need to be studied. They did go to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years and won 6 of them. And so how they've managed the cap should be studied. And my frustration is, like, the value of Chris Jones, we always set, fans certainly always set, based upon how much somebody else is making. Never with any thought to the fact, is that guy grossly overpaid? Who are the two most devastating guys at getting after the quarterback, not named Chris Jones, wherever you are? I don't want to put Chris Jones in it. Who are the two best guys? Who are the two most disruptive guys? Who have been the two biggest names on the defensive side of the ball in the front seven on defense in the last couple of years?
As far as
– that have gotten paid.
That have already gotten paid?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chandler Jones did get paid by Arizona, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of them. Actually, he had a monster year last year. He wasn't one of the guys I was thinking about, but that's fine. We'll put him. Try to give me two more. The one you should land on right away, Aaron Donald. Okay.
Well, D4 got paid by San Francisco too, right?
Yeah, but do you think he's one of the best?
No, but contract-wise, I mean, you look at the contract he got. You look at the contract Frank Clark got.
Okay, well, the two highest paid guys on the defensive side of the ball that are, I think we would all agree, great players, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. And they won how many playoff games last year?
Yep, 0.
Chandler Jones had a monster year. All the metrics say he was fantastic for the Cardinals. They didn't piss a drop. Okay.
You want to look at the metrics. I mean, look at the difference between what the Rams have done and the Patriots have done.
Oh. I mean, yes, and that's my point. With Frank Clark, and I will not argue. You know me. I've said I would not have given up those picks. If Frank Clark were a free agent, I would consider giving free agent dollars if you've got them to spend. I don't mind overspending in free agency to finish your team. I think you're better off not overspending because I think there are always bargains that are out there because NFL GMs are worse than Major League Baseball owners are. In an unluxury taxed economy in Major League Baseball, they cannot help themselves from signing big names. So there are always bargains. And as I watch the Patriots every year, that's what the Patriots do. They let somebody else spend way too much money on guys. The only thing they spend money on, they spent money on Brady. Okay, yeah, they got him for less than market value. Not that much in real dollars when you go back and look at how they did it. They were just smart and constantly tearing up the old deal and redoing another one to give him a big fat number for 1 year in cash that would bring his overall number down. But Brady they spent on Gronkowski, and they always spend on a great cover corner. Okay, and they spend on the secondary in general. Right now, Stephon Gilmore's getting paid. McCourty's getting paid. That's where their money is. But they turn and burn the front seven. And yet they were the best one. They were frankly historically good compared to the league numbers last year defensively. They were like a 2000 Ravens caliber defense. And you can go on about, well, their division sucked and all this. Okay, fine, but it was a great defense, and they didn't spend on the front seven. And I think if you look at the analytics, my point to this is people want Chris Jones, right? Nobody ever wants to give up their shiny toy. And they love Chris Jones, and he was on the team, so they want everybody on the team, right? And so everybody's got to stay. That's the way to do it. And reality is, if you don't change, you will have problems. Now, when you give a shot Breland for next to nothing and all that, hey, I'm on board for those kind of guys. You get Sammy Watkins to bring his number down to stay, great. DuVernay-Tardif bring his number down to stay, great. All right? But my point is, the value of Chris Jones, his real value in the NFL, is not based on what anybody else makes. It's based on what a defensive tackle is worth. Like, they're already overpaying, or were greatly overpaying, DuVernay-Tardif. They're overpaying Sammy Watkins. They're overpaying lots of different people. You can't keep doing that if you want to be a good team. I think the Chiefs, that was in their heart of heart, I think they wanted to trade him. No one's told me this, but it just matches up too much that when he wouldn't sign, Chris Jones wouldn't sign last year. It was right after that that Frank Clark got acquired. It seems to me like we got this money. We're going to give it to Jones. Okay, he's not going to take it. Let's go get Clark. And now they're trying, by all accounts, to make it work with both of them. But I do think that they're trending way too Rams-ish. And the Chiefs will be better than the Rams because they got Andy Reid, who's better than McVay, and they got Patrick Mahomes, who's a hell of a lot better than Goff. And even if they are, you know, stars and Jags, they'll be in a better position to be successful than the Rams. But there's going to be a lot of league minimum guys on this team, and I don't know that that works.
I'm going to take your baseball analogy because I think it's a good one. In baseball, you pay a guy what his market value is based on what other teams are willing to pay him, based on what you think the guy's worth, and that sets what a guy is worth in baseball. And to me, in baseball, a guy is worth a pretty similar number across the board to all 30 teams. This is what this player's value is. This is what Eric Hosmer is worth. In football, I think a player is worth a different dollar amount to every team. And the reason I say Chris Jones shouldn't care about what the Chiefs cap situation is, this is absolutely how it's working. This is what I'm worth, is what he says. I think he is worth that number to certain teams. I don't think the DeForest Buckner contract is a bad contract for the Colts based on their cap situation, based on their need. I don't think the Frank Clark contract is a bad contract for the Chiefs because it finished off, I think was the phrasing you used, it finished off a defensive need and helped them win a Super Bowl. You've got to decide what Chris Jones is worth within relation to your right. cap. They obviously have different numbers now than they would have a year ago when they may decide that Chris Jones isn't worth the number they offered last year because of the way it fits under the cap now that they've got Frank Clark under the cap. There's just a lot more consideration in the NFL than there is in baseball. And I think Chris Jones is worth that number somewhere. The question for the Chiefs is he worth that number here? And they've got a lot more to consider than some other teams might. But I'm sure whether they wanted to trade Chris Jones or not before the draft, they at least did their due diligence to explore what that market value was. To find out, is another team willing to pay this, and what kind of assets are they willing to give up to do it?
Yeah, no, I think the reality is that cap situation, nobody's willing to give up any. The information I've been given is that there were zero offers for Chris Jones. It is absolute crickets out there. Now, he's more expensive to anyone else than he is the Chiefs because the Chiefs don't have to give up draft picks to get him. Right, all they got to do is give up the money. The dollars, the cap space, that's all it's going to cost him, okay? That's all it's going to cost him. So where a team that's got to give up a first-round pick or a second or 2 seconds, a second and a third, it's picks and all that cap in a time, as you said, we have no idea what the salary cap is. I heard Corey Anderson saying, well, let's just wait. We don't know what the cap is. Do you think we're going to have any idea what the cap is on July 15th?
No.
No. None. So that's irrelevant. There's nothing to waiting. There is not some big fat fairy that's going to come down, wave her wand, and say, ta-da, the cap is this. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and the NFL will say, look, I know teams are trying to make plans and got to make cuts coming in, so we're going to announce that the cap will take a 10% reduction next year, and then in the ensuing years, we will break up whatever else we're short on it. Over the next 2 years, so plan accordingly, right? Maybe that answer will come. Maybe that is what the Chiefs are waiting on. Maybe they know that the league is going to announce on July 1, this is what it's going to be. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that's going to happen, though, all right? And if it doesn't, then you are headed to July 15th having no idea what future salary caps are going to be. I mean, I will make you a case. The smartest thing the Kansas City Chiefs can do is release Chris Jones. Now, I hold out optimism. I actually think the best thing for him is that if they stay the course, that maybe somebody like the Bucks or somebody goes, okay, this may not be the smartest thing we've ever done, but we got 2 years with Tom Brady. Let's just go get him. Let's offer him, let's lowball him, let's offer him a second and a fifth and see if they'll take it. And you can get that deal and you take him off your books and you've got a pick and you lock and load. But I do know this. I do know the New England Patriots feel that they can scheme pressure because they seem to get after the quarterback without having guys that make $100 million.
you've got a defensive coordinator here that's proven more able to do that than the past one, whether it be with the Giants or the Chiefs. I'm a little baffled by the prospect of releasing him, because I mean he's obviously got.
Oh, it's not going to happen. Trust me, I'm not. It's not going to happen. We don't need to spend much time on it. But
I know you're not saying it's going to happen. I just kind of wondered to explore what that possibility would be and why.
The reason why would be is if you get into the Patrick Mahomes negotiation and you just can't make it fit. Now, the word I'm getting is that it can fit, right? But there's no Mike Pinnell, right? Like, when you leave camp, there's your guys. It's those guys in your practice squad, right?
When you say no Mike Pinnell, you mean those mid-season additions.
Yeah.
Because yeah, absolutely. You're going to be under a number crunch that you didn't have the luxury of last season. And you mentioned the Patriots a couple times in this conversation. That is one of the things they do extraordinarily well, mm-hmm. that it's shocking that more teams have not mimicked throughout the years, is they always leave themselves space to make a mid-season addition, because you like to think that you know your team going into training camp. You certainly know it a lot better 6 weeks into the season. And yeah. You know what needs you have 6 weeks in the season. The Patriots are always able to address those needs because they leave themselves the cap flexibility. And that's an underrated aspect of the way that they've been able to tinker with the roster every season.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, because you never know if there's a Josh Gordon or some veteran that a team's like, okay, now more and more teams are willing to trade guys in season when they look at it and go, okay, we're 2-6, like, we're unloading this contract right now. Mm-hmm. Marcel Darius a couple of years ago, there are real values that can be had, but you got to have the cap room to take it on. All right, we're going to talk more with Sam McDowell. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes' contract coming up next. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The program with Soren Petro.
I think that's probably the weirdest voice I've ever heard in my life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. What player scored the first special teams touchdown in Super Bowl history?
Ooh. First special teams touchdown in Super Bowl history. Was it the Redskins on Garo Yepremian's boob fest?
Yep.
There you go. Nailed it!
Mike Bass, Garo Yepremian, born on this date. He passed away in 2015, but today would have been Garo's birthday, and Mike Bass. It went as a fumble recovery.
Were you looking for the player or the team?
The player.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I didn't know who the hell that was.
Close enough, yeah. Mike Bass.
It's close enough? Really?
Close enough. Yeah, sure. Well, I knew that. I knew that you knew what he was, who it was. Or
no,
what the game
I
was.
Okay. I knew the game. I knew the situation, yes, but I didn't know who the player was. If I ever get on Jeopardy, you better be the judges.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm going to need it. That's for sure. Playing for great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Go to jazzrestaurant.com right now at the Legends in Independence, of course, the original, at 39th and State Line. That is Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, the best Cajun food around. They got you covered. I will be grabbing some Jazz. I think we're going to go Thursday and grab some Jazz. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Get it today. We're talking right now to Sam McDowell. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona Light and Corona Premier. It is the way to relax this summer. Relax responsibly with Corona. Sam, Patrick Mahomes, I've heard conversations about the, link to the cap. Mahomes could be the first guy. I don't see any way that happens. Do you see any way that his contract is going to be somehow linked to the cap? I've heard this a couple of times before. And I've heard a couple of folks talking about this. Jason, the over the cap guy, he's like, he pretty much said the same thing that I was thinking. It was like, no way, that you can't do it because of what it does to the inability to like plan and structure things for other guys, right? If like, oh, there's a new like cable, the new, now Netflix is going to have games and Amazon Prime is going to have games. And so the TV deal just doubled. Then his salary is going to go from like 40 to, $91 million. Like, there's no way. Like, it's not going to happen. Do you agree?
Yeah. you know, Sam Mellinger wrote a pretty interesting column about that. And I think one agent called it the holy grail for a player, but another one said, you know, that's a hill that the owners would probably die on before seeing something like that happen. Now, obviously, we're in unique circumstances because, like you and I have talked about, I mean, the 2021 cap is as up in the air as any cap has ever been right now. So that would be maybe some motivation for both sides trying to do something like that. But yeah, I mean, less than 1% chance, I would say.
All right, so we're in agreement on that. So what do you think the number is? We've heard a lot of people, I know, $35 million per on Russell Wilson's deal is the highest per-year average. $109 million for Jared Goff is the highest total guaranteed dollars. It's going to be a four-year extension on the back end of the 2 years that are he's already committed to. At least that's how it's worked with Goff and Wentz. And do you know they can't tear those years up, right? Those are committed. He's already locked in, I know, for this year's number this year. And I think because they exercised the fifth-year option, there's no tearing that up either. Those 2 years are going to happen. So you're talking about how many years you put on the end, and Goff and Wentz put 4 years on the end. Or could Mahomes go for, if it's $50 million per year, a two-year $100 million extension with $50 million of it up front and the whole $100 million guaranteed? So he starts pulling the Dak Prescott card of, I want to get back out to being a free agent quicker.
I think the 4 years makes the most sense, mostly because, I mean, we mentioned Dak Prescott. I think Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, is a better version of Dak Prescott currently has in Dallas. I think the 4 years makes the most sense, and obviously he's going to top those two numbers you mentioned as and the annual average value of Russell Wilson. I think if I had to put a number on it, I would say somewhere around four for 170, 180, somewhere in that range.
Maybe as a 4 year extension, just to be clear, Sam. As a 4 year extension.
After the 2021 fifth year option expires, I mean that's when that kicks in, and I you know, maybe somewhere around 120 guaranteed, 110 guaranteed. There's a wrinkle in this, and it's Bill O'Brien. We just saw what he did with Laramie Tunsil and making him the highest paid left tackle for Houston in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. If he goes out and puts some crazy number on Deshaun Watson, and we don't know what Bill O'Brien is thinking on a lot of the deals he's made. If he goes out and puts some crazy number on Deshaun Watson as these negotiations with Patrick Mahomes are ongoing, it is, you know, Mitchell Schwartz said it last week, it is a player's belief. The only way to prove your value within the league is money and what you make in comparison to your peers. So if Deshaun Watson gets some contract where he's making $42-43 million a year, you know, I think that the math on the numbers that I put, if it's four for 170, 180, is somewhere in that range. I think you're looking at the top end of that range now.
Do you, by the way, where did you start walking in your house? Because wherever you went, it sucks for your phone. Just FYI. So walk back to wherever you were, if you would, Sam. We're talking to Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. Does a great job.
I thought we were
going to
play this
City
off like I was in the studio.
Yeah, no, not when you start sounding like a Cylon. It's that's gone. That's done. No, but listen, I think your point is real, and I've brought that up. Like, if I'm Patrick Mahomes' agent, like, we can get started talking, we can put everything in place, and then what I say is, okay, but I want to see what Dak and Deshaun Watson get. And other people say, no, Mahomes is such a generational talent that you can just sign him and everybody else will just end up below him. We know somebody's going to end up making more than him at some point during the 6 years. That's how it always works, right? And I don't think that, like, he's, you know, you can just go, well, he signed for 40, so everybody else is going to be less. I'm with you. Bill O'Brien is a wild card. I think Jerry Jones is a wild card. Do they not both define that number? What I heard was the Cowboys have got Dak Prescott off the 4 years, and they're getting him to talk five. But he is talking about the fifth year. If he's going to have a fifth year, he wants that year's salary to be $45 million. So if you think of a guy who's asking, like, it sounds to me like what he's wanting is 5 years, $205 million.
But the numbers we threw out from Mahomes still tops that.
Well, that's an average of $41 million per.
Yeah, and four for a 170, 180 is still going to be a better deal. It also gets you back to free agency a year earlier.
Well, except for it gets him actually on the free agent market at the same time, right? No.
But no, I mean 1 year earlier within your own respective career.
It's still 1 year longer because he got to free agency a year earlier because he wasn't a first-round pick. There's no fifth-year option, right?
Let me ask you this. If you're Patrick Mahomes, if you're Patrick Mahomes or if you're the Chiefs, would you rather sign a four-year 180? Would you rather sign a five-year 205? The team would rather have the five-year 205.
Four for 180 or five for 205? Well, you've got a $25 million fifth year, so that's, you mean five for 225?
Oh, you said five for 225 with Dak.
No, Dak is talking about the talk has been that he wants $40 million, right? They're offering like 34. You know, they offered 35, and so maybe you know, I haven't seen an actual number. I just know all the different story. I'm taking all the stories and putting it together, and that he wants a fifth year. So whatever the 4 years they were talking about, let's say it was 35. Maybe it only ends up being, $185 million, for him. But the last year being $45 million. My point just is, I do think if there's something that Patrick Mahomes, number one, my first point is I'm with you. I think if I'm Mahomes' agent, I want Prescott and Deshaun Watson to sign first. And I think there is a natural order. That's what Carson Wentz did, and then Goff topped it. And I think now even more than I think you could say, hey, Goff had just been to a Super Bowl. Wentz was on his way to one, but then got hurt and didn't go. So I just think from an NFLPA standpoint, it was right for Wentz to go first and Goff go second. Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson, it's not even close. Deshaun Watson should get his deal done first. Mahomes should come second. Prescott's a little bit of a wild card because he's already into that franchise tag and all that kind of thing. So I don't know what they're going to do. But so that's one thing. If I'm his agent, though, I want those guys to sign first so I can make sure that we top it and top it by X amount. But I do think the wild card that's there is that what Patrick Mahomes may get, he's not going to get a tied to the cap number, which, by the way, if the cap goes down over the next 2 or 3 years because of COVID, you're not going to want that. That's the other reason why that's not going to get done. But I do think that he may get an out. We may see him be the first guy that has an out after 3 years. Because right now the teams have you locked up, and they can cut you early, but you can't get out early. I think we may see, if I were his agent, I would say, okay, yeah, give me the four for 160, 170 million on the back end of the two, and 125 guaranteed, and a, you know, $50, $60 million signing bonus. Oh, by the way, and I want an out after 4 years.
That would be revolutionary when it comes to NFL. I mean, obviously,
yes.
You see that in opt-outs in baseball. And, heck, 3 years ago you saw opt-outs midway through a deal instead of just, you know, a one-year option at the tacked onto the end of a long extension. But you don't see that in the NFL.
But if anyone was going to get it, isn't he the guy?
I it's most likely that nobody's going to get it. But I do agree with you. He's more valuable than anybody in the NFL.
Yeah. So whatever it takes, are you on board that he's got to sign first? They've got to at least get the agreement done with him first before Jones?
I'm not convinced that Deshaun Watson deal gets done this offseason. I'm not convinced of anything that goes on in Houston these days. And I'm not convinced that a deal gets done with Deshaun Watson this offseason. Now, Aaron Wilson, who writes for the Houston Chronicle, had thrown out 42 or 43 a year for Watson. But I didn't get the sense that there was a lot of urgency the way when we talked to both sides and in this negotiation with Patrick Mahomes that there is urgency to get it done this offseason.
And part of that's because I don't know that Deshaun Watson necessarily wants to be there. I think Deshaun Watson's a guy that may tie up the negotiation and say, I'll play it out like Dak because I really don't want to be here.
I agree. He doesn't have the comfortable situation that obviously that Mahomes does here for a number. I mean, they just traded away his top weapon, and the year before that they got rid of another one.
All right, let me switch gears away from that and say, would you start exploring Jadeveon Clowney as a possible, like when we talked about the releasing of Chris Jones, signing Jadeveon Clowney and walking on Chris Jones?
I have always thought that the Clowney is an overrated player, so that, I think no on that one.
No, there's no price. Supposedly one of the top offers is like $10 million per. If you're getting him for 10 versus 22, 23 that Chris Jones is asking for?
No, I don't think the Clowney is worth whatever number he's going to eventually get. And we saw when you say that number, that was a number he turned down from Cleveland.
Right. Well, the biggest offer was from Cleveland, and supposedly he didn't want to go there. I haven't heard the number reported. What did you hear? You've heard a number with Cleveland's offer?
Yeah, it was reported that it was in that $10 million range.
See, I thought the Eagles were at $10 million, but Cleveland was the top offer and there wasn't a number. But I may have missed something.
I think that a lot of Clowney is based on reputation coming out of college still, as opposed to when you look at his actual production in the NFL, I don't see him being worth what he's going to generate, whatever he is going to generate. And I think that's one of the reasons that he's still a free agent here in June.
Yeah. No, I think there isn't. I also think the Clowney thing is tied to the cap thing. But I think it's also a recognition. I think the analytics guys are getting more and more the ear of the general managers, and they're saying no defensive lineman is worth this kind of money, that you can generate pass rush off scheme.
He had three sacks last year.
Well, he had 18 pressures. If you look at his – if you want to go through the metrics, he's had 2 years bigger than Chris Jones has ever had from a war standpoint.
He also plays an edge rusher position,
which is, by analytics, a much more valuable position.
I don't see the numbers being there with Jadeveon Clowney to warrant any sizable contract, especially when you're talking about a team that – and I realize your scenario gets rid of one of those big numbers to create some room, but I don't think that solves the problem, because I think you're getting less talent here and you're still not going to be in some comfortable position within the cap.
No, I what I like about talking to Jadeveon Clowney is getting Chris Jones to the bargaining table and getting a reasonable deal done. Because I think if anybody should be taking less money to re-sign with the Chiefs, it's a defensive lineman. And Justin Houston was as dynamic as you could be. He had 22 sacks for this team. He got a $100 million deal, and it was an albatross. He played pretty good ball, and he played most of the time, kind of. And I don't see any reason why Chris Jones, who's already had, you know, just any football player. I mean, forget about what his injury history is. Any football player, to think that he is going to go through 5 years of healthy football is ridiculous. So, to me, that's going to be a lot of money sitting on the sides. I just wouldn't do it. I believe in the Patriot way. And I think the Chiefs, I think if they made a mistake, it was not trading Chris Jones last year. But I can't call it a mistake when he was part of winning a championship.
Sure.
But if you want to do the pure cap thing, you would have traded him last summer when he said no. Because they definitely would have got a trade done then, because there was no pandemic and he was a year away. And you sign him, you're signing a guy at 25, not, you know, 26. He's already an attractive guy, seemingly, but nobody wants to trade for him. So, I mean, to me, that would have been the best pure cap move. But I can't hate on any move that resulted in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that answers your own question. I think that's the way the Chiefs were viewing it last offseason too. I mean, that's the reason they gave up the assets for a guy like Frank Clark. I think they thought they were there.
Yeah.
And obviously that was right.
Yeah, and they absolutely were there. And so
– But I think they're there again this year. And that has played a factor as well. If you play a guy like Chris Jones on the franchise tag and win another Super Bowl, does this also become a moot discussion?
Yes, absolutely. But you got to go win
it,
right? And then I hear a lot of people going, if you keep Chris Jones, you win the championship. Listen, it's no one's repeated since this is the longest stretch of teams not repeating in the NFL, with one of the most dominant teams in the history of the NFL not getting it done in the Patriots since their 2003, 2004 back-to-back championships. It speaks to it's not as easy as you think, okay?
Agreed.
It is really difficult. And so this idea that just if you keep Chris Jones does not guarantee a Super Bowl. And so can we say this? If keeping him and winning a Super Bowl, then they're all right. If they keep him and don't win it, are they all wrong?
Well, I think that would depend on what happened next offseason. But, yeah, I think that for sure plays into it, right? And to your point, I think the Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. So yeah, would you pick them over the field? Absolutely not, you wouldn't.
No, injuries are too much. Patrick Mahomes has had a number of them in his career, and so if he goes down, it looks real different. So, no, you wouldn't take him against the field. I'd always take the field. That, and almost any bet you ever gave me, unless the field was two other teams that sucked or something. But, no, I'd always take the field. But you know, they are the favorite. And I have no problem. If they can put it all together and get him out there on the field, what is going to really be a pisser is if he's holding out on September 10th.
Right.
And you've burnt, and it is a Super Bowl caliber team, and you've burnt $16 million worth of cap room. That, to me, is what they have to get right. On that one, Brett Veach has to get it right. He has to know if Chris Jones is going to be there playing week one. Right? That's what he's got to get right, because what you can't have is $16 million. And really, even now, I give him a get-out-of-jail-free card on that, because I think they would have been able to trade him, but because of the cap problems, you can't. So that's all there is to it. Sam, yeah, go ahead. Ask.
When he goes through and misses last year and still produces, do you think he'll be in training camp if he doesn't get a full extension this year? Because I don't.
Do I think he'll be in camp this year?
If he doesn't get the full extension,
no.
I don't either.
No chance. And I'm not even sure that he's ready to play week. I'm not sure that he doesn't go Le'Veon Bell and hold out to the last 5 weeks, and then play the last 5 weeks, get the accrued season, and then the Chiefs got to go through the whole game again next year. That's how far I think he'd go.
I don't think he could go to that, but I don't think he'd go
that either. All right, Sam, I'm going to let you go. We got to run. It's always great talking to you. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star does a great job on the Chiefs. We got to get to some breaking news of some sort. Is it Chiefs news?
It's NFL-related news.
It's NFL. All right, so stick around, Sam. Tell me, what is our breaking news, Curtis?
Adam Schefter has just tweeted out, and so the NFL has told all its teams that they must stay at their team facilities for this summer's training camps.
Okay, so no St. Joe, which was to be expected, right? That doesn't shock you, does it?
Saw that. I think we saw that. In fact, we had a meeting over sports, and we were just planning on it being here in Kansas City. I mean, we didn't even think St. Joe was an option.
Yeah, we did the same thing on Monday. We said the same thing. I said, I think they're going to be at the facility. I don't think we're going to be doing anything in St. Joe. All right, Sam, so you can erase that from your calendar, and we will let you go, my friend. Always great talking to you, buddy. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Sam McDowell, Kansas City Star, joining us talking some Chiefs football. We'll take a break. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
We call it a water cooler show.
Because the next day in the offices, people gather around the water coolers to talk about it.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up hour number two, we're going to switch gears and talk some baseball. Lonnie Goldberg is going to be with us. We're just days away, a little over a week away from the Major League Baseball draft, and we'll talk about all the different things that are going to be different, what it's going to mean for the Kansas City Royals. That is coming up next. Some news, Hercules Gomez reporting that the owners have taken out the force du jour in the MLS negotiations. They've settled on some things. They settled on the broadcast rights revenue. They've settled on pretty much every issue. Now it is whether – and the force du jour has gone from being an attendance-driven thing and instead to being much more like the rest of the leagues that are out there, that it's going to work the way the other pro leagues' force du jour works. And so now it's up to the players. They should vote tonight. They have until noon tomorrow Eastern, 11 a.m. our time, to ratify it. I would expect that to happen and for the MLS to get going. Now, when does baseball get going? We'll talk baseball, as I mentioned, Lonnie Goldberg next during the program. Fresh.
End of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
White Hall of Famer Wes Unseld has passed away. How many times in his 13-year NBA career did he average 10 points a game? brought to you by Good Sense.